Welcome to the Note Scene Podcast. I'm Matt Crane.
I'm Tyler Sharp.
And every week we chronicle the biggest news stories in the music scene. Find more episodes of this show on Apple Podcasts, where you should please rate and review us. Email us at notescene@gmail.com. Big news this week from Bring Me the Horizon. But first, we have some unexpected and tragic news from We Came as Romans. Let's go. So we were getting ready to record this podcast, and we had a bunch of listener questions and stuff we wanted to talk about, and we were hit with this huge news today, you know, right when we were all ready to go, that Kyle from We Came as Romans passed away. It's been a crazy day.
It's kind of hard to describe the feeling when news so unexpected just hits you. Right. It's just like this wave of all these different kinds of emotions just go running through your head right off the bat. And when it's someone who, it's even weirder when it's someone who you may have likely never met before, but has had an impact on your life in some way. It's so difficult to process. And no one saw this coming.
Yeah, totally out of the blue. And like you said, this one's even weirder for me because I kind of knew Kyle. I mean, it's been 4 years. Like, last time I talked to him was at an after party, like, 4 years ago. Really nice guy. You know, I think mainly in the band, I usually would talk to Glass, if anyone. But, like, you know, I did talk to him, and he was a nice guy. Cause of death has not been revealed yet.
No.
As far as I can tell.
Yeah, unconfirmed.
Every major news outlet, from CNN to People, Fox News, to Billboard, to Rolling Stone, to USA Today, to even Pitchfork, reported on this. Isn't that crazy? CNN. I mean, like, literally every outlet except for the New York Times has reported on this today.
It's so sad it takes a death for that to happen.
And it's my thing. Like I CNN, I understand why CNN's not going to cover We Came as Romans unless it's a death. I can kind of understand that. But Pitchfork, like, I got to ask how you feel about this. Because, you know, here's a site that not only ignores the band, ignores the whole genre.
The whole genre, yeah.
And joking, you know, and mocks it.
Yeah.
But then when he dies, all of a sudden treats him with respect and writes about it. Does that bug you at all? I'm not sure how I feel about it personally.
It definitely bugs me, but I get it, man. Like,
yeah.
You and I come from that world where
right.
You know, it's that editorial world where your personal and your company's success is based off page views, you know? That's what it comes down to.
And it's
really fucked when you have a site like Pitchfork who just completely lambasts our world,
because they're a Warped Tour band. And I'm going to throw Rolling Stone in there too, because they reported it. And there's no reason Rolling Stone couldn't have covered this. When they had, you know, a top 10 debut album, Rolling Stone could have ran an article, hey, look what's going on in metalcore. You know what I mean? There's no reason Rolling Stone has ignored this band forever. So it doesn't totally bug me, but because I understand, because then if Pitchfork doesn't cover it, then you kind of look like assholes that way too, right?
Yeah,
you're going to ignore him this far even when a guy dies?
Yeah, it's a bit of a lose-lose. Yeah.
You know, Tyler and I are media guys. These are weird media feelings you might not understand, but we're just having journalism emotions right now.
For sure. Just, when it comes to mainstream outlets, it's kind of like, if one domino falls, the rest of them are bound to fall.
Right, like we saw
the first
USA,
one was USA Today.
They ran it, and then CNN and then, picks it up, and then Fox News.
Right, and then we know that the rest of them will eventually get it because that's their competition. If they post about it, then they have to post about it.
This is wild, man. This is just, we're gonna. I kind of want to just, for some clarity, go through a couple things, but we're gonna express how wild it is to us. But okay, so August 18th, he tweeted, "Will I remember or will I be lost in loving eyes?" And then a few hours later, he tweeted, "Fucking great," and that's his last tweet.
Yeah.
So, so the, not, not
that first tweet or the second to last tweet that he sent out. I can't remember what song it's from, but it's a song off their last album.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of the song either. But then fucking great.
It's very peep like kind of eerie, you know, right. How similar they were.
But your last tweet being just fucking great, that looks concerning. But so this comes from TMZ. Sources close to the situation tell us Kyle was transported to a Michigan hospital on August 19th and pronounced dead this Saturday morning. His cause of death is still unclear, pending a toxicology report. So what I find weird about this is, what is today, Saturday, August 25th?
Yep.
And he went to the hospital, according to TMZ, August 19th.
Right.
The band, they've been silent on social media for a week. If you look at, like, mm-hmm. all the member Twitter mm-hmm. accounts. So that kind of confirms TMZ's story here. Like, something happened a week ago, or August 19th, and the band and all of their Instagrams and Twitters, they've all been silent for a week now.
Right, yeah. We can assume that the two are correlated.
Yeah, like, it seems like they've kept... I mean, he didn't, you know... They've known shit's been bad for a week, and they've kept it under wraps, which that's not any shots. I mean, that's, you know, out of respect for the family, out of respect for right. him. You know, maybe that's just what they wanted to do. But again, that brings me just back to the cause of death, and I hate to even... Of course, you hate to speculate, but, like, I like to be honest with everyone on the show. My head instantly went to suicide or OD, and I'm like, this kind of sounds like a OD-type situation. I mean, and again, I have no knowledge. I just, you know, just piecing together what I've seen is, you know, he was rushed to the hospital, you know, on August 19th, and on August 25th, he was pronounced dead. It's just, you know, that the night before that, he tweeted, fucking great. It just doesn't look good. It looks like it could be that kind of a situation. Yeah, it's really sad.
Yeah, especially when, like, you know, we don't know the cause of death right off the, like, it's not revealed. Nothing is confirmed. I just, like, I don't even like to go there. I don't even like to put my headspace in that, and it's so hard not to, you know.
It just smells like it. It's just, for me, at least just in my dealings and working in this industry, it's just like you kind of see the writing on the wall. And, like, I know you don't like to go there, but I just, like, I can't stop my head from going there.
Yeah,
so
it's hard.
I just try to be honest, you know. Like, you and I try to keep these conversations on the show just like if it was just me and you on the phone. And you know how I talk on the phone, and I'm not going to try to hold
absolutely. Hold back. Yeah. That's what this is. Just a conversation.
Did this take you back to Mitch at all? Mitch Lucker from Suicide Silence?
I mean, that was the last one, right? From our world.
I mean, well, you know, Tyson from Scary Kids died. And,
right, right.
But that band,
a bit of a different era.
Yeah, that band had kind of been lost to history in a weird way, you know? And when he died, it was almost like people remembered that was the band. But yeah, I'd say since Suicide Silence singer Mitch Lucker died... That's what it just took me back to that. That's the only thing I could compare it to. And I was just like, man. And I just remember what a big deal that was. And I mean, this is that same level, you know. This is the scene. We haven't, you know, lost such a big player in a big scene band in such a long time.
Pretty much since then. And those two bands rose up together. They obviously weren't in the same genre, deathcore, metalcore, whatever you want to call it, right? But they were associated with that Hot Topic rise of the second golden era.
Same time period, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So to plant a seed, I really loved that record. For me, like, I felt like the band always had a message to their music.
Mm-hmm.
And when I listened to it, like, I got, like, a sense of, like, exploration and wonder. And there was something about their music to me that was, like, confronting sadness, but in a hopeful way.
Absolutely.
And my favorite line Kyle sang, and what kind of encapsulates what I loved, like, about We Car at that time, was our lives are over at so many moments. Our lives were over at so many moments, and now they're all just beginning.
Right.
Like, they were in such bad places, but now everything is so great. And that's one of the great sing scream transitions into you know, where he's I've never been so consumed,
mm-hmm.
and I've never loved it more. And then back to the great Scream Sing transition to live and the love of my brothers and spilling back all that anyone has ever spilled for me. Right. Just love that moment. Just one of my, that's my favorite.
I would totally. I'll say, like, as far as modern metalcore goes, this was one of the more beautiful moment bands, you know? Yeah. They were able to, especially probably mostly on those first two records, they were able to capture these kind of graceful yet still fitting moments for the movement. And as far as lyrical themes go, I think it gave a lot of kids hope.
Yeah, there was hope to their music. It had a message, and it did make you feel like if you were in a bad spot and you heard this record, it didn't make you feel good, but it made you feel like, okay, like there's something else out there I can reach for. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, man.
They lit a path with their music.
Right.
They didn't give you the answer, but they were lighting a path to maybe where you could find hope.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I was in right around when To Plant a Seed came out, somewhere around that time, and not a lot of things were going too good. And you know, without getting too personal, I was in a really bad spot. That the lyrics on that first record really did help me a lot, mm-hmm. to kind of see things through a different light. There is a the closer on it is called An Ever-Growing Wonder, and there's a lyric where he says, an empty cup cannot fill another, I have spilled all I have to make things better. And that moment, kind of like you said, they light a path for you, you know, to get to where you can make things better. And that,
exactly,
that line helped me realize that if I can't make myself better, then there's no way I can help anyone else or do anything for anyone else. You know, like if my glass is empty, then I have nothing to give to anyone else. So I have to focus on me,
right,
before anyone else. And that line helped me understand that for the first time in my life.
Yeah. I mean, that's sort of Kyle, when he sang it, was empowering in that way. I mean, his voice was so unique, and
you knew it was his.
Yeah, I mean, it's so high pitched. You know what I mean? It's way up there and unique, and it's just very empowering when he's saying like that, because you know he can make you. It wasn't telling you, you know, everything's fine and going to be okay. It was saying, you know, this is bad, and there's another place over here you can go if you want. You know,
absolutely,
kind of what you can take away.
Those first two records, man. Yeah, when Just Keep Breathing came out, holy shit! Like if you have ever had an anxiety attack, that chorus is, you know, it helps. He says, like, just keep breathing, just keep strong. The only real control we have is over ourselves. And, like, yeah, that's like, holy shit, man.
So, 2009, electronic metalcore fucking arrives in a big way.
Mm-hmm.
The first WeCar song I heard was Broken Statues. And I was like, what the you know what I mean? It was kind of like, it was a lot to process at first. And then I heard Intentions, which features Telly from The Word Alive,
yep,
on vocals, and I was like, I was sold. So from there at that point,
I was in a metalcore band
doing all WeCar covers. Dude, probably all WeCar and Asking covers.
I was in,
right?
A horrible, yep, I was in a horrible generic core band, and I remember we were tossing around song ideas, and I sent that to our group chat that we had on our shitty old I don't even remember what phones we had, but they weren't iPhones, you know. I sent that to everyone, and I was like, this is the vibe that I want, because that song comes in so hard, man. Like, it comes out of the gate swinging so heavy. And I love how they were able to create such suspension and elevation in that early material that really separated it from the rest of modern metalcore and the risecore wave.
So, like, WeCar, The Word Alive, A Skylit Drive, Sky Eats Airplane, Attack Attack, Color Morale, Miss May I, Mice, like, all these bands come up in 09, like, and really start, you know, heating up. And they're like this, they're kind of all, they tour together. You know, it's kind of like a clique. You know, like they all were kind of touring together, collaborating and working together. And it gave us like this, for people like me, at least, this good alternative to like the neon pop punk that was dominating the scene at the time.
Mm-hmm.
This was like kind of my escape. like, I was like, oh, what's up with the word alive and Weecar? You know, like, it was kind of like this underground resistance, you know, this electronic metalcore thing.
And it was, you know, when people say, it's funny, like, a lot of people describe Weecar as electronic metalcore. They used all strings, you know, so it was very more ethereal as opposed to like the Attack, you know, Someday Came Suddenly and First the Asking Record.
They could be more symphonic at times, but you got songs like Broken Statues, where it's keys. I mean, they had a prominent keyboardist.
Totally. You know? Yeah, for sure. But it definitely felt, you know, maybe
they were
like
unique.
Symphonic metalcore.
Yeah. So of all these bands, though, and I remember tracking this at the time, To Plant a Seed was outselling all the other bands' records on the chart. It was on the charts every week. Like, it was low, but it was there every week. It just kept selling and selling. Like, that was the big one. And then at some point, I don't know, you might remember this better than me if it was a deluxe edition or something, but To Move Is to Grow became like a huge single for them.
They re-released To Plant a Seed with To Move On Is to Grow and a special edition DVD, but with To Move On Is to Grow added to the record, and that became kind of like their pinnacle song.
And that song, you know, all of a sudden, you know, they're contenders now. Like, once that song takes off.
Totally. I remember looking about a year or two ago. I haven't looked today or no, but I'm pretty sure To Move On Is to Grow is their music video with the most views on YouTube.
So after all this, the hype for a follow-up was like fucking huge. Mm. I mean, to say the least. And I remember the day Alt Press premiered the first release single, Misunderstanding.
Yep.
And it was so huge and heavy,
so fucking massive, man. I remember it, and I was slightly disappointed, and it's still not one of my favorite like Weecar songs, especially off that record. I love that album. I bought it the day it came out, and I was all on the hype train. But yeah, I remember being slightly disappointed in it, and I was kind of concerned for the record, because it's way more heavy than it is
way
melodic.
In your face. I don't know why at the time I was so about it. I was like, oh yeah, like I was just waiting for it. It was just like, charge up, boys. So Understand What We've Grown to Be sells 19,000 copies first week in 2011. That's a smash. Mm-hmm. I mean, that for a metalcore band, I mean, that, you know, they sold exactly what Falling Under Verse did, you know, like that year into perspective. I mean, they're huge. Weecar become an institution at this point, I'd
say,
you know. Taking Back Roots sells 26,000 copies in 2013. They're now one of the biggest scene bands at that point, 26,000. I mean, you look back at this time and you would want to say Attack were the biggest electronic metalcore band order, but Weecar were there outselling them at every point, you know? The Attack records sold, I think, 15,000, you know, copies first.
Yeah, because didn't Self-Titled do 20?
No.
I'm pretty sure it did.
Attack, Self-Titled did maybe 15, and I think the follow-up did 17.
Yep, you're right. My bad.
So that my point being is, you might think, look back and be like, Attack, maybe we're just more part of the conversation, but Weecar were smashing them.
Absolutely. You
know? 26,000, they were just crushing them as far as sales go.
Yep.
At every point. So in 2015, they still managed to sell 22,000 copies on that self-titled record, but that's just when everyone flips on them.
Yeah.
Everyone's done with the band at that point.
I won't lie, I jumped ship.
Oh yeah, you know, like, was the record bad? I mean, I don't, you know, it just
it just kind of felt like a worse version of Understanding.
And metalcore was kind of coming to an end.
Yeah, you know? Every band was making their pivots in different directions, and Weecar just kind of felt stagnant and released a worse record than they did before. Whereas, you know, Of Mice and Men changed their sound, Bring Me changed their sound. Bands were progressing in different ways, and the ones who did it right saw the sales increase, and the ones who didn't.
It's wild how quickly they went from, you know, Weecar, 26,000 copies first week, one of the biggest scene bands, to just kind of over in a matter of a year. Like, by the time the last record, Cold Like War, came out, it didn't even make a splash.
What did it do first week? Because we talked about it on the show.
It was like so over, remember? We barely got to talk about it on the show, and it's just crazy how fast it ended for the band. And I almost kind of want to give that record another chance now.
I was listening to it a bit today.
Yeah,
Cold Like War is a pretty good song. I was trying to remember the singles, because there was one that I actually really liked. I didn't really like Wasted Age. That was the throwback metalcore song. But there is a couple songs on there that were fairly decent for sure.
Does We Car continue without Kyle?
I mean, he was kind of what separated once the band got away from their kind of string arrangements. He was really, his voice was really what was the kind of foundation as far as their trademark goes in their sound. I don't, especially with the sales of the last album, I'm sure they're going to get some offers and stuff to come back, but I don't know if they will.
Yeah. It would be weird to replace them.
It would almost be too.
You don't want to go forward as just a metalcore unit with right. David. I mean, as the front man.
They were gonna have to pivot their sound way hard.
You would have thought the move for them was to use more Kyle and less David.
And less David.
Let's do something, you know. But
I could see them. They do have another band. It's like a hardcore band, and I think Kyle was the only member of We Car that wasn't in it. I cannot remember the name of what it was, but I mean, obviously that's not the sound they need to go for.
I hate to even say this, but you know, getting a new vocalist often, sometimes it's controversial, but sometimes it creates enough news that it actually works out for the band. Help them out. Like, you think about Suicide Silence, you would have said they should have ended the band without Mitch, but they got a new vocalist. They put out a good record that people liked. We don't need to talk about what happened later on, but you know, Doris.
Oh my goodness!
But you know,
of course, no. So I mean, the potential
for them, if they want to stick around.
There is a path. The hardest part is that this band was on the steep downslope when this happened. I could see, yeah. I don't even know what the move is, because the move is to go forward only with Dave and do full cleans, but I don't know how that would turn out. I don't know what the logistics of this band's future looks like. So I'm gonna say no.
I just want to say rest in peace, Kyle.
Absolutely,
he was a nice dude. I feel terrible for his family and his friends and the band and everyone. Tyler, anything else you want to add to this?
It's been really. It's so sad that it takes a death to do it, but. I haven't seen this scene come out over something that, you know, so unifying in a really, really long time. And yes. I can't go anywhere on social media without seeing members from every scene band you can imagine. For the Fallen Dreams, Ronnie.
Yeah, Ronnie.
You know, you name it, that bands have weighed in on it. So it is cool to see the response and all the love from the scene. From something like this, but yeah, rest in peace and thank you.
Definitely. All right, Tyler, let's move on to our main story, our intended main story this week. Bring Me the Horizon announced their new album Ammo out in January, and they released a new single Mantra along with a new music video. We've been waiting for this one for a long time. If you've been a Note Scene listener, there's a lot to unpack here, Tyler. So I want to start with the song Mantra first, Tyler.
Okay.
What do you think of Mantra? Give it to me.
So there's a lot to say about Mantra. It's a rock song. It's a, it is not the dark pop pivot that you and I think we're hoping for. Mm-hmm. It is a active rock. I don't know if I'll say arena rock, but I'm sure that's what they had in mind for it. Comes in hard drums, hard riff right out of the gates, and then it busts into that super low end fuzzy ass active rock riff that just kind of hits you right in the face. You know, it's very reminiscent of That's the Spirit, and I can't help but laugh every time Ali says the new record isn't going to sound anything like That's the Spirit when they basically just released Happy Song Part 2. The verses cook. I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of the verses. I love the pre-chorus. It gets very light there. There's some suspension in the melody, and then the hook just doesn't deliver. I know I'm on the wrong side of the fence when people are talking about the song, but it does not hit and it doesn't hook like it needs to. It is too lackluster for the amount of buildup that the song cooks in the verses. And that concerns me for the song's longevity. Yeah. The bridge is one of my favorite Bring Me the Horizon moments of all time. It is a very top 40 kind of Spotify core instrumental bridge. And they, mm-hmm. you know, they I don't even know if Ollie actually sang the falsetto moment on the end of those two lines in the bridge. I could see them that being a completely different person, because if you watched any of their secret set at Leeds, it's all that whole moment is backtracked. He just gives the mic to the crowd. Like, there's no fucking way that guy can sing.
I mean, this band, they're the king of backtracks.
He's
not a singer. He never has been.
I don't even think there's a way to doctor up a recording from Ollie Sykes to make it sound like that.
Ollie can't really sing. I mean, in a studio, they can squeeze something out of him and make it work.
Exactly. So, regardless, bridge, absolutely incredible. Chorus does, regardless of what I have to say, and it doesn't come in hard enough, it does have some sort of return factor for me. I do come back to it a little bit, especially when the mantra part comes in. And listeners, Matt and I have just said mantra to one another at least 100 times since the song has come out.
Last couple days. Mantra.
And then the riff comes in, right? That's where I could see it being like a bit of a sports song for the NFL upcoming season. But altogether, all of that being said, I am at a 8 out of 10.
Banger Nation?
It's there. Oh my God. It is just good enough.
So Tyler and I usually don't talk about this stuff before the show because, you know, I don't like to know his thoughts before we're on the air, because I wanted the conversation to be as organic as possible. But I was so angry when I heard the song that I felt like I had to give Tyler a warning. Like, I told Tyler, I was like, listen, dude, I'm going to burn the podcast down this week, so be ready.
I'll never forget those texts after the song dropped. There was a lot of profanity in those.
Yeah, and I was really pissed, man. Something happened, you know. Kyle Pavone died today, and I don't feel all that anger. Mm-hmm. So I guess I'm not coming in as hot as I thought I was gonna be. Mm-hmm. I thought we were gonna have some flames on this episode, but mm-hmm. Just by the way I'm feeling from today, I'm not pissed. We missed out on a big rant, is all I'm gonna say. Mm-hmm. You're all spared.
All spared.
Mantra.
Oh man,
I was pissed off. The chorus is pathetically weak. Mm-hmm. Like, they play it so safe,
right?
All to conform to active rock radio, and it's so watered down. It's just like that stupid Under Oath record, mm-hmm. and I'm getting so sick of it. Like all these bands run to rock radio, you know, like rats, like climbing on a sinking ship. And I get it; it's one of the only markets left for rock music. But it's not even that big of a market. 3 Days Grace get a number one single there, sure, but they only sell 15,000 records, and it's going to die soon.
Right.
And instead of innovating, we're regressing, and I'm sick of it. Under Oath, Bring Me the Horizon, Beartooth, Of Mice and Men, like, are all just going to have the same riffs now? We're all just going to, you know, have that fuzzy riff, and we're going to try to have something that sounds like STP or Breaking Benjamin or whatever. It's just like there's no future here. That's why all these bands have these singles hanging out to dry at number 40, you know, and falling on the charts.
Yep, that's where the Under Oath single is at right now, 44.
It's just not working, because, you know, the guys listening to active rock radio, it's a bunch of old guys who want to hear the same Disturbed and Godsmack song and Smells Like Teen Spirit song every day, you know. So even when you do get success on active rock radio, it's not going to help you that much, because the listeners are there for nostalgic purposes. They're not there to discover new bands.
Right.
All that said, though, Mantra's not a terrible song. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just mad, you know, about the direction they went. I think it's very cool when the chick who does my voicemail says Mantra. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, that's cool. And I love when Ollie screams after chorus one. I'm with you on the verses. I think the verses are okay. You know, it's not the worst song. It's good FM radio fodder. Sure. I'm just so disappointed that this is what we're getting is good FM radio fodder. You know, I can nod along to a good truck jam, you know what I mean? But I was expecting more from Bringing Me the Horizon.
Right. We wanted Doomed Part 2, right? We wanted some sort of progression that could put Bring Me on alt radio, because that's the next step.
So I come, it's flipping. I'm at a 6.5 to a 7 out of 10.
Wow.
I'm in that range. I'm flipping. I haven't landed yet. Fine, we'll just give them the fucking 7. They can have it. 7 out of 10. That's where I land. But I'm not happy about it. compare this to Drown. Like, when Drown drops, and we were... I mean, that was so amazing and incredible and new. And I had never heard a song like that before. And that's the type of thing you want a band like Bring Me the Horizon to do. Not you know, try to please some stagnant rock radio audience. But I have some hope, because in an interview with NME, Ollie said basically they made this record, this new record, Ammo, and it's super weird and super experimental, and they got kind of freaked out before when release time came around, so they recorded Mantra really quick because they wanted something for the label.
No
and
shit. Something,
yeah, and they wanted something that was safe. They
I
wanted
did
something
not
that,
know that.
Yeah, Ollie said he was worried about alienating everyone because this record is so different. So they recorded Mantra after, because they were like, dog, we need something that's like kind of normal, because this record's... So that's Ollie, if you choose to believe him,
right.
That's Ollie's story. And that gives me hope. That's fine. If this is just the lead single to keep the label happy,
absolutely,
I'm good with that. And in that interview, he also said he's going to talk a lot about him and Hannah Pixie's divorce on the record, which I think is cool that he's going to be honest about that.
Because we knew that was coming, right?
He
tweeted about that when it happened. I was still at AP when all that went down.
Well, what's funny is he said, you know, now he's remarried to that model.
They got married?
Yeah, they got married. I know, crazy.
Dude, she just turned 20.
But he had said, you know, he didn't want to make a record about her because he didn't even want to, like, give her that glorification.
Right.
But he says he's so far past that now he realized it's something he needs to deal with and put through his music. So, wow. You know, they're still Bring Me. 2 million plays on YouTube in 2 days when I checked. Like, within 2 days, they had 2 million plays on YouTube. I noticed the video had 100,000 views in 1 hour.
I'd just like to say that shouts to my boy Brian Storm for sending that over when I could watch it when I had 36 views on it.
Oh, nice.
36 view club right here. I think that thing's gonna shoot to 10, no problem. 20.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how far this rides.
Still Bring Me. Everybody wants to see an Ollie video.
And the video is gorgeous too. Like, it's fucking weird as hell, but it, you know. They made it look gorgeous. My worry here is longevity of the song. Is this Throne? Is it 107 million streams at the end of the cycle on Spotify?
I don't know that it's their streaming hit, but it, you know, it's so close to Happy Song, and the Happy Song was their biggest radio moment.
Right.
So maybe this is the radio song. Maybe this is the one that does good at rock radio for them.
I'm waiting for that submission here.
Yeah, I mean, it's going.
We're still not
there. You know
there.
It's going.
I mean, they
it's
made going. It for that. I don't understand. Maybe the label was like, nah, we want you at Coachella or something, but I don't know.
Yeah. It that song literally exists to be on radio.
Right,
it'll be submitted
absolutely.
If it hasn't already yet. And I could see it doing good. I mean, if Happy Song
right.
did good, this is right along those lines. You know, maybe they get a top 10, top 5.
I hope so, man. I want. This is the last band we have.
Yeah.
This is it.
So the album art looks cool. I like the Ziploc bag with like hearts painted on the blank CD. That's a cool. I really like that. It looks cool.
We just everyone's just gonna Post Malone the shit out of everything now.
Well,
huh?
I wonder, is that gonna be physical media too? Do you know?
Or is
that just a digital?
I would assume so, but I still never found out. I never saw a physical copy of Beer Bongs and Bentleys, so I couldn't tell you if.
It's a cool look. It's a CD in a Ziploc bag with hearts painted on it. I like it.
It's very very emo. Very MySpace emo. Yeah.
So the last record, That's the Spirit. Came out on their major label Columbia Records. This album is coming out on Sony Music in the US, and RCA Records UK in the UK. So that's interesting to me. You know, Columbia is the second biggest record label, like, after Atlantic.
Yeah, so break that down. Break that down for us, because I don't even know all the details between RCA, Sony, Columbia, Sony.
Sony Music owns Columbia and RCA.
Oh, Sony owns Columbia and RCA. Okay.
Columbia is the second big... I mean, they were the biggest label for a while, but now I think they're probably the second after Atlantic, or maybe even third after Republic, because shit, Republic, Drake, Ariana Grande.
That's
a big year for them. But Columbia, you know, that they have, like... That's Sony's, like, premier label. That has Beyonce, Adele, Springsteen, Harry Styles, Chainsmokers, LOL, Lil Xan, you know, like,
right.
and now they're not on, this record's not coming out on Columbia. It's coming out on the broader Sony Music.
The next level.
Well, I don't know. It's not the next level because they put their best artists on Columbia. So I'm do they think is Bring Me Not worthy enough to them anymore to be on their flagship?
Shit.
It's very strange. Like, you know what I mean? You don't often, there's not a lot of bands who come out just on the parent company, you know, Sony Music. You don't see that often.
That's usually concerning.
Makes me wonder, like, did they not get along with the people at Columbia, or, you know, I don't know.
This band is not the easiest to
work exactly.
With.
So I wonder.
I hope they didn't shoot themselves in the foot here.
Yeah, because it's almost like you could get kind of backwatered, you know, out of the big parent company label.
Yeah, you get fucking shelved.
You don't have the crack Columbia team, you know, that works on Beyonce releases working on your release.
Right. Obviously there was money put into this.
For sure. It's Sony.
We can already see it in the music video, the rollout, all the posters and shit all around the world.
Sony headquarters is made of solid gold. I mean, you know what I mean? Just being on Sony, you're going to get money.
Yeah.
But I just thought that was concerning that it's not coming out on Columbia again.
Man. Yeah, for sure.
Long lead time. I don't like it.
I hate that shit too, man. But they want that single to burn, man. I wonder if they want two singles to burn.
January, though, this feels like what Fall Out Boy did with Mania. Like, this feels like a really long time, man.
Mm-hmm. I know. Could you imagine if it gets delayed?
Oh my god, that can't happen.
That can't happen. Not this band. Not BMTH.
So That's the Spirit debuted at number 2 in the US and sold 55,000 copies first week, and it was huge. Mm-hmm. To give you a comparison, Paramore just sold 56,000 copies first week on their latest record. Sempiternal did 27,000 copies first week on Epitaph. There Is a Hell did 20,000 copies first week. Suicide Season debuted outside of the top 100, so it didn't really have a big debut, but it got hot really quick and mm-hmm. started selling huge.
Right.
But I did not realize That's the Spirit went gold in the U.S. this June.
Oh, wow.
I know.
I did not know that.
And
was it old school? It wasn't old school.
I'm not sure.
That's with streaming, right?
Yeah, probably with streaming.
Okay,
but
for
still,
sure.
That we know... I mean, we know they sold a lot of records.
This band is the biggest they've ever been right now.
Yeah. So That's the Spirit went gold in the U.S. in June, and also Sempiternal went gold in April.
Wow. Okay.
They're a band with two gold records now.
Right.
That puts you on another level, you know? Like, the Used have two gold records.
It's funny how we still can't call them a breakout band yet, you know?
Two gold records, man, and Brand New only have one.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly.
That's huge. And, you know, Suicide Season's probably, you know, sold quite a few copies. So that's just crazy to think that they're a band with two gold records now in the U.S. Let's talk about the video, Tyler.
Man, there's so much shit that goes on in this fucking video.
You like it?
I mean, it's whatever. I'm not into the weird kind of outlandish aesthetic that seems to appeal to the kind of younger millennial audiences, as far as, you know, that fits the Bring Me aesthetic as far as their social appearances go and whatnot. So this video is not for me. That being said, it's wild, man.
You got Ollie's looking like a SoundCloud rapper.
What I found most interesting is that it's Ollie. It's not the mm-hmm. band.
Well, I mean, that's smart branding.
It's absolutely smart branding, but do that on a song that makes sense.
Doesn't sound like a rock band
that
song.
That doesn't sound like a full yeah. band song. Like, release Doomed. At least release Doomed. If not, release Follow You or Oh No.
We want Ollie Obrist the 808s and some
Absolutely, yeah. man. Like, let's get that.
I got a
top
question.
40
this isn't that expensive video that they were shooting where pictures leaked like a week ago when there was a crane and a whole set outside and everything. Did you see those?
I was thinking that it was because Ollie's dressed in the same suit.
Okay. I didn't see any outside stuff.
They
going
shot
on.
The artwork. They did. Okay. He's wearing the same clothes. I think
they
that
shut
was
down
on
a whole
the same
street. For that video,
I mean,
and I didn't see any street scenes in this video, so I'm wondering if there's another even bigger video yet to come.
I'm so interested to hear that second single, man, because if this is the only song that they pivoted for active rock,
right.
you know,
and we'll see how hard we get burned. Listening to Ollie, but you know,
shit.
We'll see.
Yeah.
But those were his words. So. They look like a SoundCloud group now. That UK tour flyer looks like a fucking Suicide Boys promo.
Dude, straight up. Straight
the
up,
black,
man.
You know, the black contrast, the lighting.
Yo,
it's
absolutely.
Funny. I mean, it's okay, though. It's going to work.
I mean, get your aesthetic, man. Get that paper.
They announced a big US tour. These are some big rooms they're playing.
Still playing Aragon in Chicago. That's a 5,000 cap.
5,000 cap. They're playing the Fillmore in Detroit. That's a 3,000 cap. They're playing the Forum in LA, which is a 17,000 cap.
No shit.
I don't know. I don't think they'll fill that out, but we've seen them draw close to 10,000 in LA before.
Dude, with the Under Oath and Bear Juice show.
So if they, in that demand, right? They haven't been back in so fucking
that was the
long.
Last time.
Yeah, so they could probably, I could see them drawing, and LA is the biggest touring market, for those of you who don't know, and I could see them, you know, drawing 10,000 kids to the Forum.
Okay,
10,000.
You think they could do 15?
I don't know, man. That's a little up there.
I mean,
but
we
I could
still,
see
this whole cycle is going
to
burn a while.
10 to 15, they could probably pull that off at the Forum, which is crazy.
That's
so,
fucking wild.
I don't know, you know, but who knows? The demand is certainly there. Did you see them at Reading in Leeds? They opened with Mantra.
I saw, yes, I did. And people knew the words, man.
Crowd already knew the lyrics. Yeah, that's the first thing I noticed.
They all knew the fucking lyrics.
They're still Bring Me. That's the takeaway here.
Absolutely.
They still get all the views. Their fans are still the craziest.
That crowd fucking knew. I found another video angle that was up by the barricade, and it all looked back at the crowd. And dude, holy shit, especially when they played Drown at the end, because I'm pretty sure that's what they closed with. Oh my god, man, that song is like the ushering in the new era of the world, man. It's such an anthem.
It's definitely
crazy.
The best song we probably got post 2010.
That's the best scene song
probably. I don't know. I'd have to go back, but I'd say definitely at least, like, if we're going to put a cutoff at 2010, you know?
Yeah. Would you go best far song. Back as 2008, of the last 10 years, the best scene song?
Maybe.
I mean, I think it's absolutely in the top five. I'd say solidly in the top three. I'd have to think about it.
Absolutely in the top five. But yeah, I don't know. I'd have to think about number one. Anything else, Tyler, on Bring Me? I mean, like, listen, like, oof. 2017 was a terrible year for the scene. And, you know, Tyler and I have said this whole time, 2018 is the year it has to be saved. Like, Bring Me the Horizon, Pierce the Veil, A Day to Remember, the big three should all be releasing new albums this year. And if anything could jumpstart the scene, it's that.
Well, and right now, we're putting it off till 2019, because that's when this record drops.
Yeah, I know. Ugh. But at least we'll be getting singles and
for
videos
sure.
and
for
activity.
Sure. Where's that? Band. Where's that ADTR Marshmallow single, man?
And it's time for a record, boys, too. But so it's just, you know, again, it's a very important year for the scene. This all needs to work. And this Bring Me Sweet. Thing, I don't know. This wasn't the best it could have gone, but we'll see. Anything else you have to say about Bring Me, Tyler?
There's no saving the scene, man. All these bands just want to get out. So let's help them
shut
get out
down.
While it all falls apart around
pack
them.
Pack your bags, shut everything down.
That's all I'm saying.
Don't forget your trash on the way out.
It's over. Let's get you guys out of here. Let's take what we can get and move it to the next level. I think this is the only band who has a shot.
All right. So in other news this week, it was great to know that Fall Out Boy still fucking suck. why do they do this?
Oh, no.
The Mania campaign. Fall Out Boy released the Fat Kid EP. I got a couple things to say about it. The Mania campaign was such a train wreck, and they just keep dragging it out. It's the worst and longest campaign we've ever seen. Fall Out Boy, they gotta go away again, like they did after Folly. You know, that's why Save Rock and Roll works so well. Come back with fire, but go away. But seriously, Fall Out Boy, go away.
Oh my
God. You gotta make us miss Fall Out Boy. Shut it down. You know, Patrick, go make Soul Punk Part 2. Dog, bring back the damn things.
Hell yeah, Pete, I'm still waiting on that record.
Pete, call up BB Rexha. She's doing pretty good right now, you know?
Right,
If she'll forgive you, you know, go hit her up. And you gotta go away for like 8 years like Blink-182 did. That's what they gotta do. Think about it. Mania is their neighborhoods, you know? And we need that long. We need them to be gone that long to the point where we're like, remember Fall Out Boy and how good they were? That's what we need. This is just some creative way they're finding to fill their contract with Island, which looks like they're 6 albums into it, so they're probably just about out of it. No one is asking for new Fall Out Boy right now. Stop screwing your legacy. The title track is boring. City in a Garden sucks. Like, really sucks. I love you, Chicago! Super Fade was, like, okay. I'm a sucker for French horns. I love Fall Out Boy over some horns.
You've got to be fucking kidding.
But vocally, not a good Patrick moment. Too over the top. Chicago gets my soul. Yeah, Chicago totally made Fall Out Boy, not MySpace and Warped Tour. Okay.
Oh my God, man. You felt such a way. You took all that Bring Me Hate and you just dumped it right into Fall Out Boy.
Well, I'm at a 5 out of 10 for the Lake Effect EP.
Here's a question.
This is not good coming off. Not a single Not one Mania single charted the Billboard Hot 100. Not one got on the charts.
Oh, go, my Fall God.
Wait, you need a break.
Oh, my God. Are you done? Are you done? Did you get it all out of your system? Holy shit. Did you ever listen to this song when the demo leaked back 10 years ago?
Yeah.
You don't like that riff at all?
No, I don't.
Dude, it comes out strong, man. It feels very Folly Adieu era. If you didn't like Folly Adieu era, then
not my era.
I mean,
when I needed them to go away.
Same. That's when everyone did. Later. But in Legacy, I have grown to appreciate that record very much, especially compared to Mania. You know, over the last year, I've listened to that album a lot, and I'm like, wow, this is really good compared to when you hit rock bottom.
Did I give my 5 out of 10? I just want to make sure
you made it very clear.
I just want to make sure I got that on tape.
Made it very clear. I think the song is fine. It's exactly the same as the demo. They just re-recorded it, gave it a little sheen. They put over it and they just dropped it again. It's fine. Whatever. The second song you need to listen to. Maybe it's just because I grew up going to Chicago. I lived an hour and a half outside of the city. You need to watch the music video along with it. Did you watch the music video? Mm-hmm. It's nostalgic as hell, man. Let them have Chicago.
I know they're a Chicago band.
It'll make you feel a way about your hometown, and that's what pop punk's supposed to do, right? So those two songs are whatever. That last fucking song, it might be the worst Fall Out Boy song of all time. Holy shit, what a pile of hot garbage. But the first two songs are fine. It's whatever. I feel like this is, if I were them, this is what I'd drop and then go away. Like, this is the last, this, make it seem like this is
how many, but the, how many more, how much more shit are we going to get the remix of Last of the Real Ones?
And oh, shut the stop, fuck up. No, know? Yeah, we got to stop all that. Just hard, stop. Hard stop, man.
I can't drop
the semi-nostalgia from 2008, whatever. They should have dropped a demo from Under the Cork Tree or some shit. Get people, you know, talking about Sheer Band again in an old, in a nostalgic sense. Go away. That's what you need to do. And hopefully, like you said, they fulfilled their contract with Island. I don't know anything about that, but hopefully they did that, and they I really hope they don't start their own label or some shit. The problem is that these guys are aging, man. Like, they are not who they were 10 years ago. They're not who they were 5 years ago when they released Save Rock and Roll. It's becoming more and more difficult for them to gain traction on alt radio, let alone top 40. You know,
I say bullshit because Blink did it just fine.
Blink did it on alt radio for sure. Absolutely. Yeah,
that's what Fall Out Boy need to do. They need to do the Blink thing. They need to go away. as long as Blink did, to the point where we're dying for more Fall Out Boy. Because we could, you know, if they're gone for 7 years, that's when you start, you know.
Dude, they're like, gonna God, be, I miss that band. They're going to be coming up on like 50 at that point, man.
No, Patrick, dude, they'll be in their 40s, you know, just like Blink. Blink are way older than them.
And Patrick Stump and Pete Wentz are not Mark Hoppus and Tom DeLonge.
Like, dude, they're comparable, though. They're the emo Blink, you know what I mean?
And I don't think so.
They could totally do it. And that's what they need to do. They need to disappear.
They're sure as hell not going to come back with fucking guitars, man.
They need to disappear, come back with a throwback Corktree kind of thing, and make everybody love them again.
I know that we have our anomalies, and that's what happens when you drop fire. So that's why I tell every single band, music first, drop your fire. Oh. Then we'll focus on the push. But the industry is inherently ageist, man. Like, it's not, it doesn't favor, you know, playing, yeah. even as, you know, well, even you as know, males in their upper 30s, you know, it's more difficult than you are when you're 20.
When you do something stupid, like shoot yourself in the foot with Mania. Absolutely. Or shoot yourself in the foot with Neighborhoods, it's, you gotta go away. That's what they gotta do. So
hopefully we get that 2021 Fall Out Boy comeback.
Yeah, they need a comeback. It's enough. And, you know, I'm just so sick of talking about it. It's like, what are we going to get next? You know?
Right.
And no, nobody's going to care about this EP, really.
No one's going to remember it.
People are going to be like, woohoo for a day on Twitter, you know? And that's that. It's just keeping a bad thing going that should have been shut down a long time. They should have shut it down, you know, the moment when they were scrapping the album but keeping half of it. It was,
the moment Young and Menace didn't take.
Remember, you know, it's like that Star Wars Solo movie where they fired the directors when the movie was done.
Yep.
Like, that's Mania. Mania is the Solo of music, you know? Like, the thing that was just never going to work. Yep. Anything else on Fall Out Boy, Tyler?
I'm out, man. I'm out on this band. Go listen to From Under the Corktree. Remember the good times.
Yeah. Okay. Let's hit our pop story, Tyler.
All right.
Ariana Grande's fourth album, Sweetener, is out. What are your thoughts on Sweetener?
I'll be straight up with you, man. This is a contender for pop record of the year for me. It's not perfect. It is not perfect by any means. There is absolute filler, especially the title track. One of the worst pop songs of 2018, for sure. But she brings the fire through and through throughout the whole, throughout a majority of the record. There is the singles. Obviously, we talked about No Tears Left to Cry, which is a great kind of throwbacky vibe, and it bumps real hard. It's rode so well for her. God is a Woman. Holy shit, that song has just grown the hell on me, man. Mm-hmm. I love that hook, and she just sounds gorgeous on the whole track. Fantastic single. The Nicki song is a big miss. The Light is Coming. I love Ari's part, especially when the hook starts cooking, you know, when you get that vibe. Mm-hmm. But the majority of the song is a miss. Shouts to Pharrell Williams, man. He couldn't hack it with Camila, you know. That was an obvious miss
right out of the gate. Sangria wine.
Dude, right out of the gate. That was so blatantly a miss. But he comes back with Blazed, which is the second song after the intro on Sweetener, and holy shit, man. What a great song. It's got such a vibe to it. And Every Time and Breathing. Those are the two. That's right in the meat of the album. 8 and 9. Great songs back to back. They cook real low vibey, good hooks. And then you've got your Better Off. I don't, man. Naming your song Pete Davidson. That's a whole podcast, their relationship. That's a whole fucking podcast, man.
We can't. We're already working on an Avril Lavigne podcast. We can't do any side ones.
Can't go there, man. But the narrative around this record, you know, the Manchester tragedy and everything that happened to her and her comeback through it all, I am so impressed.
The narrative, it's not really in the record. It's not what the record's about.
Absolutely. Right. Totally.
That's the impressive part.
And you have to dig to find the reference, because there is a reference. Yeah. I can't remember exactly what song it is, but she has pointed it out. But Totally. And that really is what makes it so impressive, is that she went through all of that, and she
dealt with that on her own.
Massive, traumatic experience.
This is a record about being Ariana Grande.
Absolutely, you know? And she just delivered the fire, man. And I am I'm at an 8.2 out of 10.
Wow.
I love this album.
There
are songs that I skip. I skip REM, Sweetener, and Successful every single fucking time, because those are bad songs. But okay. There's 15, and there are a lot of good ones.
So I had a weird kind of journey with this album. Mm-hmm. I wasn't pleased at first listen. I was disappointed, because it's like this record's kind of missing the highs, the high highs of Yours Truly and My Everything. And I totally disagree with you on Blazed. I really don't like that song.
Get the
like that
fuck
that Neptune production
here,
sounds
man.
So dated to me. Just like mid period Timberlake. Just get out of here with it.
Come on.
I really don't like that song, so it set me up for a bad listening experience, I'd say, because I was just like, I'm not fucking going back to mid period Timberlake Neptune. And my favorite Ari, like I have two favorite Aris. I like mini Mariah Carey, who's belting over classy beats. Right. I love that Ari. And then I love electronic queen Ari, who's vibing over icy synths with all the good effects.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of explains why my two favorite Ari songs are The Way, which is just Mariah Carey, and Love Me Harder, which is just the emphasis of that electronic Ariana Grande. And she's not doing either of those things here. And I think that's what threw me first. She's not taking her vocal range all the way up there that much, which is fine, because the record is more like of a vibe.
Yes.
The first half was kind of rough for me, mm-hmm. but the second half, you get into this very like almost Post Malone core, like
right.
Max Martin produced chill out vibe, like mm-hmm. real chill out vibes throughout this record. It's a good mood record for chilling. She's vocally restrained, which was something that threw me off at first, but it she's restrained to fit the mood of the album, which is good.
Serve the song.
Yeah, this record works better as like a whole piece to me. It's not so much about like the lead singles. It's like this record to me, it's like spending a fun evening with Ariana. Mm. Like that's what this album feels like to me. Songs I really, really like. I love Every Time, which is like this great mm-hmm. Taylor Swift Reputation kind of track meets Mariah Carey. Totally disagree with you. I think Sweetener is an amazing song.
Get the fuck
love the
out
title
of here.
Track. Good Night and Go. I love that song. It comes in sounding like candy paint.
Sure.
A lot
sure.
of feels, dude. I love that song. Obviously, No Tears Left to Cry is just a banger. These are like, and what these are, these songs, they're like really nice, like little gems to kind of spend the twilight days of summer with. Like,
it's
this is
such,
like really fun little song.
Such ear candy, man.
Yeah, so I come to a cool 7.5 out of 10.
Cool, we're close. You know, we're close.
Messy moments that yes. keep it from getting to that 8 for me. You know, like you said, there are some skippable moments, Pete Davidson and some other songs I didn't like. Cool. So sales. First record did 138K first week. Second record did 169,000 first week. Dangerous Woman did 175,000 copies first week. And this one is projected to do, I want to say, 232.
Okay. I was, for some reason, I had 205 in my head.
Yeah. Last time I checked hits, it was 232.
Okay.
That's
wild,
so
man.
She's cracking 200,000 copies first week for the first time. So that's a big deal.
And the conversation was at one point at the beginning of the last cycle, was Ariana over?
Right.
You know, because it stumbled out of the gates so hard. But that second half of the cycle came on so strong. And especially after her comeback, after going through that tragedy, I truly think she delivered in all the right ways. She's the biggest she's ever been.
Tears, you know, No Tears went to number one as a single, and God right. as a Woman seems to be working decently as a single
so
and is
good.
On that path.
So good.
She's doing well. While we're on our pop story, Tyler, it's time to pick Song of the Summer.
Can you believe summer's over?
Oh, it's crazy, man. It's fucking
just
crazy.
Wild.
By so quick.
Another one gone.
So there's a lot of contenders. It's interesting because this year we didn't have like the obvious like runaway. Like you had like that one summer there was Fifth Harmony work from home. The other summer last year it was Despacito. Like just really ran away with
Alexa
it.
Alexa, you know? Play Despacito.
Oh my god! You know we didn't have like that one. There wasn't a Chainsmokers Closer. Right. You know, and right. you had Zedd and Maren Morris with The Middle, but that came out like way too before. Early to be a summer song, right? You know,
as far
so
as
that burned all like through the fall and winter, you know.
As far as top 40 charts go, we're talking fucking Psycho and Better Off, man. It was Post Malone's summer.
Okay, I'm gonna go through what I think are the obvious candidates, and then you can you can go through what you think are yours too. Cardi B, I Like It. LMA, Boot Up. Drake. Either In My Feelings or Nice for What?
I think you gotta go In My Feelings at this point, man.
You kind of do, don't
Kiki,
you?
Man. Yeah. Kiki.
That fucking Drake, man. It's not
right?
Fair.
Right? Not fair at all.
What about you?
So, yeah, I'm gonna throw No Tears in there. I am gonna throw Better Off in there. Did you say that?
I did not say Better Off.
Okay.
Better Off is a little late, I think.
A little
maybe.
Late, but we're I late felt summer. Like it, you know, New York's been bumping that
we
song.
We wanted it, okay. We
New
wanted
York's
it.
Been
yeah, I mean,
bumping
we were like,
that song. It is hard to escape it up here.
Yeah,
So those are the two I'll add.
Okay. The Ariana thing, interesting, because I had that in this little Hail Mary section, because I know it's probably not Song of the Summer, but it did get to number one, and it got played so much.
I
you
just
know what I
feel
mean?
Like she's having such a moment yeah. right now, and that song started it.
But, you know, Cardi, oh, one real quick. I just want to throw this little Hail Mary. So Taylor Swift, Delicate, right?
you got to give her shouts.
Just
got to
give the props because it had an impressive run in the summer. And what I realized is that song really took off, like, in June during wedding season.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like everyone was, you know, like, planning their weddings. And they were like, oh, we can't only have Shake It Off, you know, on our playlists for the wedding. And they're like, we hated the new record. Oh, this Delicate song's good enough.
Fine.
And it just took off. And I went to a wedding this summer. That song was fucking everywhere, dude. It was like played during the wedding. It was played during like the rehearsal dinner. It was played at the bachelor party. We played when we went out to dinner. Like
still,
it was played at the barbecue.
Still can't escape Taylor.
Yeah. She had a nice little, I know it's not Song of the Summer, but she had a nice shot where she could have made it.
Sure.
So Cardi B, I Like It, was like pre-programmed to be Song of the Summer.
Right.
Boot Up is like the cool surprise, you know?
Yeah,
like we didn't
nobody
see
saw it coming. Yeah.
Drake, In My Feelings, it's Drake.
Forever the Overcomer, man. It wasn't a surgical summer.
No, it was not. There was no snipping going on. It's just annoying to me that Drake, he already did this with Hotline Bling and what's the biggest song of all time he released?
Oh, the dance one. I can't remember what
One
it's
dance.
Called. One Dance.
He already did this. It's not. I almost feel like you got to put Drake in his own category. It's not fair.
Just set him apart from everyone else because it's a
and
given.
Yeah, Post Malone, great summer song with Better Off, Better Now, but maybe a little late to the party. What's your pick of all of these?
God, man.
You look back at summer 2018, what's the song that you know?
It's
you
weird
heard
because
and it's going to define it.
Dude,
for
the
you.
Song that I heard the most was In My Feelings.
Okay.
And it wasn't even I wasn't listening to that song. It's fucking everywhere, man. It
True.
Got turned into a meme. You can't escape it.
Yeah.
I think that is the answer. My personal song of the summer is much different, but I mean, as far as an all-encompassing song,
the winner,
it's Drake, man. That's it.
I'm gonna have to go with Cardi.
All right,
I
love that.
You know, it bumped for a really long time, absolutely. And I think that's why, like, you talk about hearing things bumping out of windows, like that's what I heard the most, like coming out of car windows, and maybe In My Feelings was just a little late,
mm-hmm.
and that's why, but I mean, you could go either way. I
totally.
Feel like Drake, In My Feelings, Cardi, I Like It. I'm just gonna give the slight edge to Cardi because she's a smaller artist than Drake, and that's it. Song of the Summer. We'll do it next time.
Good
but
God.
Real quick before we go, Tyler, let's hit on the story so far. The story so far released two new songs, Upside Down and Take Me As You Please, from their upcoming LP, Deeper Dose. This follows Let It Go and all the fallout associated with that song. Tyler Sharp, real quick, what do you think of these two songs?
Everyone is fucking wrong. Everyone is wrong. You're all wrong. These are incredible songs, and you're all ungrateful little pricks. That you're the reason why the scene died. Appreciate good music. Let bands progress. This is good for them. These are I listen to these songs so much. I don't even know what to say about them. They're so mellow. I love they layered the shit out of Parker's vocals, so we know the whole record's gonna be like that.
Wait, can I just cut your sentence? It's so mellow, and they layer the shit out of Parker's vocals. Like that would could be a critique, you know? If I rip that out of context.
Absolutely, man. Like when it comes to the story so far, everyone wants that edge, man. Everyone wants that driving kind of angsty edge. Let these guys grill the fuck up, man. Oh, I'm so pissed at the response. I know this album isn't going to sell well. They did drop pre-orders before the first song, so I know they got that initial bump. So
they dropped pre-orders before people heard the music, so right. Maybe
so,
they're
going to... So they at least... I'm thinking they at least got, like, 10K in the bag, you know? Like, we're going to do at least 10K,
Last record did 20K, right?
Right, so I think we're safe to beat, you know, the Sleeping with Sirens record. The difference between these two songs and Let It Go is that I've kind of already outplayed Upside Down for sure. Mm-hmm. I am at a 7.9 on Upside Down. The one critique I have on that one is that when he says his melody on It's All Love Now, I'm like, oh, you could have came in a little bit heavier. Maybe not heavier.
Man, you got some minor critiques for this band.
You
right
could have come a little bit more on minor that hook hell. And got me a little bit more tucked in on that. But the rest of the song, the verses, holy shit, man. How could you not? If you like good music, how could you not like that? These songs are great, and everyone else is wrong. So I am at a 8 out of 10 on Take Me As You Please.
All right. For me, Take Me As You Please, this song can go fuck itself, man. Another stupid acoustic song about weed. Neat. We already knew you were stoners. I'm at a 4 out of 10. I fucking hate this song. Upside Down, so bad, so bad, so bad. That's all I have to say.
Well, this is my last. This is my last note to scene episode.
You're like I said, this is the ship you're gonna go down with, man. Did you see the Defend Pop Punk group by any chance?
I checked for a minute and I got right on out. It's the meme of the mouse walking in and walking right out. That was me.
Their fans are. Everyone's just shredding this music. I'm happy for you, Tyler, that you're connecting with it. I don't understand because it's not that I just think it's not story so far. I just generally think these songs really suck. Like I think they're 4 out of 10s.
I cannot believe it, dude. Like yeah. I think from a pure song critic stance, I think these songs are great. I don't understand what everyone's missing.
I mean, an acoustic song about weed. I just can't think of anything I'd rather not listen to.
Get past the thematics of it. Get past the
there.
Overlook it. We know we ain't gonna get no life changing shit from the story so far, man.
Upside Down. Like I said, I'm glad you like it. That's way worse than Let It Go. Like I had a problem with Let It Go. That makes Let It Go look good. Like, that song is just such a hot mess to me.
The structure
like, these
new songs of
these are
songs
are hurting my brain.
Dude, no.
Stop processing everything and stop messing with your production.
God, you're so wrong. Let bands progress. Let them do something
different, I'm the one,
man.
I'm the one for progression.
Another one.
Let's not drive the band off a cliff, okay?
Dude, these are good songs. These songs could burn on alt radio.
I don't think they're good enough.
They don't even have to go to rock radio now. But no one, everyone says they fucking suck because their fan base is a bunch of fair weather. Oh, man, I'm going off. We're over time, man. We got to cut this before I say something I can't take back.
Okay, I just want to say this reminds me of the Wonder Years, what they did with Sister Cities.
No.
Totally abandoning their sound.
That was cred bullshit.
But
music.
The thing is with Sister Cities, the Wonder Years fans were totally about that one. They loved it, and they bought the shit out of that record. And this one, the fans are not about it. That's all I have to say.
At least you and I both hated that record.
Yeah, well, that's terrible. All right, we thank everyone for listening this week to Note to Scene. If you have any questions, send them in to notescene@gmail.com. If you enjoy the show, serious, take a minute and give us a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts. You don't even have to write a review. Just give us the 5 stars and we will love you. I think we deserve them. We deserve them, don't we, Tyler?
I think so, man.
Okay. Thank you. Go do that right now. Please. See you next week.